2 days more, we are going to have a Chinese New Year. And therefore, I take this opportunity to wish all of you an advanced, blessed, and prosperous Chinese New Year. And I use the word prosperous in the sense of the Lord prospering you and not in the sense of being wealthy. Right. I'm starting a series of studies on, or I should not say I'm starting, but I'm continuing a series of studies on the year of the pig. Now, how did it all come about in the first place? Well, the pig is based upon the animals linked up with the zodiac. And one year, in 1983, I was put down to speak at Balmoral Gospel Hall. And I was wondering what I was going to speak on in the Chinese New Year season. And it was the Chinese New Year of the pig. So I thought, the best thing is to talk on the pig. And that's how it all started. A pig will be the study of the animal as found in the scripture. So that was 1983. And 1987, I continued with that, the rabbit. But what happened to 1984, 85, 86? I was not in charge of the speaker's roster. I was not rostered to speak in the Chinese New Year season. So, well, I had to skip all those animals in between. But anyway, 1990, again, I was down to speak. And I thought, I would like to study the animal associated with Chinese New Year, and so the horse. And when I did my research, I found out that there was so much to say about the horse in scripture, I was able to hold it in 3 sessions. And after that, I was in charge of the speaker's roster at Balmoral Gospel Hall. And I made sure that I would speak every Chinese New Year season. And therefore, I began the series. 1991, the ram. 1992, the monkey. 1993, the cock. 1994, the dog. 1995, the pig again. So I finished one whole cycle, but I missed out 3 or 4 animals. So it was not complete. So I must complete that whole cycle of 12 animals. So, and at the same time, I came to know about PowerPoint. So I was able to illustrate my study with PowerPoint slides. Before that, it was just speaking, and notes given, nothing more. And so, therefore, I started the series in 2010 with PowerPoint. So from that year onwards, and every year after that, I began with PowerPoint. And I continue up to this year, 2019. All right, 2019. So, but I want to complete the whole cycle. To complete the whole cycle, I must therefore go on for next year and the year after that. The year of the cow should be my last. And it's going to be very significant. I hope the Lord will spare me to speak on the year of the cow, because that's the year of my birth year. I'm a cow. And it's a good cow. I tell you that afterwards. Right. So, the year of the pig. What is it all about? Now, the year of the pig is associated with all the various star constellations in the zodiac. And it would start with the first animal, the rat, go on to the ox and so on. As the Chinese would say, it chu ji gu sa ho si to, and so on. And then you go down to the 12th, and the pig would be the last. The English calendar also has its zodiac. And we have the Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. And so we have the corresponding zodiac in the English calendar. Anyway, we are not going to talk about the symbols in the English zodiac. We talk about the Chinese zodiac. So let's back to the 12 animals over there. And we find out 1983 was the year I started. And now is 2019. That will be the fourth cycle. I have completed 3 cycles. Today will be the beginning of the fourth cycle. That is a long time. And Bumrungrad Hall has been always privileged to hear the study every single Chinese New Year where I was put down. Now, how did this order come about? How did it all come about? Well, it happened that these 12 animals were wondering one day who should be the first in the order in the cyclic calendar of the Chinese zodiac. And this approached the gods. And the gods said, all right, to appoint the one who should be the first, let's have a competition, a contest. And all agreed. The first to reach, to swim across this river, to reach the opposite bank, will be the first. So they all agreed. So they all started swimming. Everybody swam. And the ox was strong, very strong. So the ox was first. And as the ox reached the bank on the opposite side and was about to jump onto the bank, what happened was there was little cunning rat, which never swam, which was sitting on the back of the ox. So when the ox was about to jump, the rat jumped first. So that's how the rat became the first one. So the first in the order, the rat followed by the ox, and of course, the pig. The pig's a lazy pig. And it became the last in the zodiac cycle. All right. Now, before I do this study with you, I need to clarify certain things. Number one, when I study these animals with you, I'm not encouraging you to do a horoscope study. Many of you are familiar with what the stars foretell. And some of you may even look at what the stars foretell day by day to see what fortune you will come across in the day. Now, this is not good. You should not start your day with horoscopes. The Lord is against such. The Lord has this to say, no one among you is to make his son or daughter pass through the fire. Practice divination, tell fortunes, interpret omens, practice sorcery, cast spells, consult a medium or a familiar spirit, or inquire of the dead. Everyone who does these things is detestable or an abomination to the Lord. And the Lord, your God, is driving out the nations before you because of your detestable things or abominable things. So do not get involved with horoscopes. Do not get involved with feng shui and fortune telling and all this. The Lord condemns it. So with this as the first clarification, let us go on from here. Second clarification. I want you to realize that even as I talk of the year of the pig and I refer to people who are born in the year of the pig, I do not refer to any person literally in the congregation. One year, I was held up. Mr. Ang, you are very bad. Every time you speak about the animal in the year, you would say all the bad things about the animal. What can I do? What can I say? Because all these animals and their attributes that are referred to in the scriptures are all bad. So I cannot turn them to be good. They are bad. And she was very angry with me. So I had to explain to her to pacify her. If I say, that's why today I'm not going to ask you, those who are born in the year of the pig, please put up your hands. If I do that, many of you, others will know that you are a pig. No, sorry, you are not a pig. And that's what I want to clarify. You are not a pig. You are a person. You are a person. You are not a pig. Although you are born in the year of the pig. Okay? So get this clear in your mind. And for me to use the word swine on you is worse. Thirdly, whenever the word swine or pig is used, it is never referred to any person. That's what I said just now. All right? Whenever I use the pig or swine in this study, it is because of what it is, where it is found in the scripture. All right. So please, you are not a pig. For our purpose, therefore, I may sometimes try as far as possible not to use the word pig. This word is becoming very sensitive, so much so that you can't even find a picture of a pig now in the supermarket. It's very sensitive. Well, but the Bible uses pig. The authorized version uses pig or swine, which is worse. All right, so let me be clear here. Although I may not use the word pig, I will try my best to use the word ball instead of pig. So, the connotation of the ball. Now, this is the real Bible study now. We are now going into the scripture and also into the use of this word, swine or pig. Firstly, let's look at the dictionary. The origin or definition of a swine. The word swine today is no more used. It is obsolete, although the technical term for it is still used as swine fever, swine herd, swine pox, and so on. Now, to clarify certain things, and I take this from the dictionary, the Webster dictionary, a pig usually has when in the male form is called a bull. A female is a sow. A litter of piglets is called a farrow. A wild boar, some of you all may have the wrong presumption that the wild boar is wild. No, the wild boar actually refers to the pig at home. And the boar or the pig that is outside, that is wild, is called a hog. And that is what and how the Webster Universal Dictionary defined it. Right. In its singular form, it's called swine. Plural is also swine, as deer is swine. A deer is singular as well as plural. Literally, swine in singular form refers to a hoofed carnivorous mammal with a wild boar or pig. It is anything and everything. That's what it's meant by carnivorous. Figuratively, because it is anything and everything, it is all the rubbish also, and all the filth. And therefore, we see a pig very dirty and filthy at times when we come across it. And we call people who are dirty, filthy pig, dirty pig, rotten pig, and, well, in more generous terms sometimes, as fat as a pig, you fatty pig, you fat pig, you greedy pig. Well, please, I'm not referring to any person. I'm speaking figuratively. Please don't get insulted. In the plural form, still swine or pig, they are collectively called a herd of swine, all right? Let's go on. Now, that was a reference from the outside source, English. Now, from the biblical source, what does the Bible teach about the word pig or swine or boar? The Hebrew word hazir occurs only 6 times in the Old Testament. Only 6 occurrences. It is found in the proverb, in Proverbs 11:22, where we read, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Or in modern translation, it reads, a beautiful woman who rejects good sense is like a gold ring in a pig's snout. First occurrence in the Old Testament of a swine. And it has reference to a beautiful lady who does not know what discretion is and who is involved in gossiping and in poking her nose into other people's affairs. Her beauty is become something that is not appreciated anymore. More about this later on. Just now, I'll give you the references in your Bible about swine or pig. This beautiful pig has a ring in its snout. Wow. More about that after that. Second occurrence, third occurrence, fourth occurrence, and fifth occurrence, and sixth occurrence. All the 5 references, the rest of the 6, are all a reference to to the pig as a polluted animal. It is unclean. More about that again as we go on. In the New Testament, kairos is always in the plural form and it refers to swine or pig, but only in Matthew's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, and Luke's Gospel, the Synoptic Gospels. For example, Matthew 7:6, do not cast pearls before swine. Again, in the three Gospels, we find demons being cast out of people possessed by them into a herd of pigs or swine. I'll be talking about that all in greater detail. Thirdly, there is the prodigal son who at the end of his journey ended by feeding pigs and wanting to eat the food of pigs. So, one more word connected with pigs in the New Testament, and it is the feminine form, and it is the sow in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. All right, this is how I do my study. Having collected all these verses from Scripture where the word swine or sow or pig occurs, I now try to draw them together and see what messages I can get out of them. And so now we start with the study of the year of the pig and the messages that we can derive from there. Comparison with the ball. Be a cow, but not a ball. That's the first lesson we want to learn. Be a cow, but not a ball. Why? Leviticus 11, 2 to 4. What does Leviticus 11 says? This is a list of animals that can be eaten or that cannot be eaten by the Israelite. Some are clean and some are unclean. And God defines the clean animal from the unclean animal. And what is the clean animal? You may eat any animal with divided hooves, and that chews a cud. Two conditions. An animal is clean when it has divided hooves. The picture on your left does not have divided hooves. The picture on the right has a divided hoof. And so you find an animal must have divided hooves, cloven hoof. But that's not all. It must also have, also be able to chew cud. Often you find a cow sitting under a shade, moving its mouth left and right, masticating, so to speak, although it's not eating from anything, but it's moving its mouth all the time, nibbling. Why? It is chewing the cud. Any animal that has cloven hoof and chews a cud is clean and can be eaten. For example, those animals that chew the cud, you have the cow, you have the camel, you have the buffalo. They nibble the food and then they sort of ruminate upon the food that they have nibbled. All right. But please remember, it says, look at the one here. Among the ones that chew the cud, above, or have divided hooves, you are not to eat these. I refer to the first one first. The ones that chew the cud, but do not have divided hooves. The camel, though it chews the cud, does not have divided hooves. A camel has webbed feet. It does not have hooves that is completely curved or divided. Webbed feet so that it cannot sink into the sand when it walks. A camel chews the cud. It is unclean. Cannot be eaten. because it does not fulfill the two conditions laid down. This is the pig with its hoof divided. That is a pig also is unclean. Why? Because though it has divided hooves, it does not chew the cud. Unclean. So remember, there are two conditions laid down. To be a clean animal, one has to fulfill the two conditions. If you fulfill one, then you are unclean. Right, let's consider the similarities between the cow and the pig. I said, be a cow, but not a pig. And yet, the two of them, the cow and the pig, have two similarities. For example, both of them have cloven feet. The cow has cloven feet. The pig has cloven feet. But with a difference. What is that difference? Figuratively and spiritually, cloven feet stands for separation. And it teaches us that we need cloven feet because we need to be separated. However, do not be a cow, be a cow and be separated, but not a pig that is separated. Because the pig separation and the cow separation are two different types of separation. What do I mean? The cloven feet speaks of separation through both animals possess cloven feet. The ball separation is like the separation of the Pharisee. Matthew chapter 15. What is that kind of separation? The Pharisee is very particular about their being separated from the rest of the world. They cannot take any things that are defiled from outside. A person must first wash his hands before he eats his bread. A person must make sure that his cup is clean before he drinks from the cup. He is very particular of the outside things. Now, that is separation from external things, that they would be clean. On the other hand, the cow separation is a different separation. It is a separation like the Nazarene. A Nazarene in Numbers 6:1-21, we are told that he is a person who is separated from the world in order to be holy unto the Lord. So, we need to be separated. But we need not only to be separated cleanly from the outside, but also cleanly from the inside. The Lord Jesus Christ said, take care. What goes into the mouth is not that which will defile you, but that which comes out from the mouth, from the heart, is and out of the mouth is that which defiles. So we need to know the difference between these two separations. Right. That was the similarities. There are similarities, dissimilarities. The cow chews the cud and is clean. The boar does not chew the cud and is unclean. The cow chews the cud. Be a Christian cow. Why? You know, chewing the cud means this. First, the cow will eat the grass. After nibbling the grass, it will put the grass into its mouth, and then it will even swallow into its stomach. And it will go on grazing the meadow, eating nonstop. And after that, it will go to a shade under a tree, and then it will start taking out the food that it has swallowed up again, and then will start to really chew the food, digest the food, and then swallow it into the mouth, into the stomach. That is called chewing the cud. Or one word, ruminate. To ruminate is to think over the things you have grasped. And that's why a Christian cow is a cow, a Christian who reads the scriptures every morning, spends time with the scriptures, perhaps even 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You have not much time because you've got to go to work. But after having read the text, he will keep the text in the mind and he will go out. And as he goes out for the rest of the day, he will think on the text. What happens? Further meditate upon the text, he will ruminate. And that's why I have, for many years already, been writing ruminations for Christians so that they will be able, it will help them to meditate upon the text in the Bible. And I have this rumination that sent out every week. Today, there's another rumination on the pig and the boar, on the cow. And this is the number 700. In other words, I have been sending out 700 ruminations week by week for all the past years for people to help them to take part at the Lord's Supper so that they will have thoughts in connection with the Lord's Supper in the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are interested, you can always refer to me and I will send them to you by email, or you can visit my website, as the URL is found there, or you can even refer to the Facebook. Every week it would appear in the Facebook. So that is for your information. Preparing yourself for participation at the Lord's Supper, a rumination. The boar believer lives a positive life. Don't be a boar believer. Why? Because a boar is unclean. A pig is unclean. And it does not have the effect of reading God's word and the word cleansing him from the inside. While he separates himself like a Pharisee from any uncleanness from the outside, he remains defiled and polluted inside. So, it may just be a form of just reading your devotion every day, every morning. But if it does not have any effect in your life to bring about changes, then you are not ruminating it to allow it to have effect in your life. Okay. Do not be a boar. Be a cow. Be neither a dog nor a sow. Now both. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 22 says this. It has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. This refers to a dog, after vomiting out, going around again, and then returning to the vomit, lick it up all up again. What a filthy thing to do. It refers to a pig who has been completely washed and clean, and then sent out. And when he's sent out, it comes across a mire of mud. Then it goes into the mud and then wallows in the mire of the mud again. Now, this is a person who, having known what is true and what is right, returns to what is bad. That was before. Now, this is like a dog returning to its vomit. The implication, both the dog and the pig were once cleaned from the outside and look clean. The illustration is both illustrate a nature that was never reborn, though reformed. They call themselves Christians. They behave so-called like Christians, but they never have been reborn. They have never been born again. They have just been changed from the outside. They have just turned over a new leaf. Now, let us be careful that we are not these kind of Christians, because these kind of Christians will never progress in the in the sight of the Lord. And that's why we read often of people who call themselves Christians, and after that, they change to a new religion, and then they return to their religion again. So, reformed, but not renewed. Robertson, one of the Bible commentators, says this of a pig that has been acquainted with very qualified people, washed and clean, but the moment it goes out, it meets the mire of mud, it will go and wallow in that mud. This text is taken from the context, which refers to instructors of the word or false teachers. There are false teachers who teach us a lot of things concerning the so-called Christian life. Be careful of them, because many of them have not been reborn, although they are reformed. I have no time to talk, to develop on that. I'll just go on. They are definitely not born again. Do not be impressed by people who have got a lot of degrees behind their names, who boast that they are so-called Christians, and who have got a lot of theological degrees. In their intellect, they are very, very clever, but they may not be truly born again. And we, therefore, need to be careful that we don't come across that kind of influence. Right, let's go on. The decorations of a ball. Just now, I referred to a beautiful lady. Very beautiful indeed. But the moment she meddled with other people's business, poked her nose into other people's business without discretion, the Bible says she loses her beauty. She loses her beauty. A beautiful woman is like a jewel, is like having a jewel or gold in a swine's snout. So, ladies, do take care how you behave. Your beauty can be enhanced. Your beauty can be appreciated. But if you do something that is indiscreet, that spoils your beauty. Let's see. We do not want this to be on your nose, do we? Let's see how a beautiful woman can be further enhanced and her beauty can be more appreciated. By her warm heart and quiet spirit, as we are told in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, that a woman, a beautiful lady, a beautiful wife who is quiet, well-behaved, is much, very much appreciated. Now, it uses the word quiet. What is quiet? Quiet is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and it means a person who does not poke her nose into people's affairs. So, beautiful ladies and saints in the Lord, do not meddle in people's affairs and gossip, because that will still spoil your beauty. Your beauty is enhanced when you are submissive to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. It is not the ostentatious ornamentation of jewelry that makes a girl beautiful. It is the inner beauty that is important. By her modesty and sobriety and not her jewelry. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. So these are reference texts in the scriptures to ladies to how and to enhance their beauty for the good of service unto the Lord and testimony too. All right. We have studied a ring in the ball's snout. Now let's come on to the second part. A pearls under the ball's hooves. Do not cast pearls before swine. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them upon their feet and turn again and lacerate you. Surely all of us know that when we throw pearls, which are very valuable and precious, to the pigs, they wouldn't appreciate. They will just trample them under their feet. So, what does that mean? Well, a commentator has this to say. What we understand as being intended by this admonition is that we are forbidden to attempt to Christianize unregenerated men by teaching them the letter of the word as though we could to improve their carnal minds as to make them acceptable to God without being born of the Spirit. Now, we know even in the society that we live in the community that we live in, there are religious groups that teach the Holy Book from young and make them memorize these holy books and holy texts. And these young children grow up into young people, into adults, and they can quote the text and they can refer to the text very fast. And yet we know from among them there are those who are corrupt, who cheat, who lie. What is happening? We also do not want Christians who can boast that they know the scriptures very well, but they have not changed by the living word in their lives and remain the same as before. So it's important that we, when we use the word to approach a person, to bring him to salvation, that not only should we make sure that he knows the word, but we make sure that he knows the living word with the Holy Spirit reforming him to be what he should be. All right. Do not cast pearls before swine. Pigs cannot appreciate pearls. It refers to people who cannot appreciate the intrinsic value. You know, a lot of people cannot appreciate the Bible, the Word of God, because they do not know the full value of what the Word is. And they look at the Word of God, the Bible, just as one literature book. And they compare it with many other religious books and other books, and they find no difference. So, with these people, we need to bring them to the intrinsic value of the Bible and the spirit in that book to convert them unto the Lord. Both can turn, if we are not careful, both of them can turn on and intimidate the giver as well. Right. Now, the degeneration associated with the ball. Look at the prodigal son. The prodigal son spent a righteous life. So much so that at the end of it all, he was so desperate, he had to ask himself whether he should eat of the food given to the swine that he was taking care of, because he was very desperate. He had sunk to the deepest depth of that degeneration that one could think of, especially for the Jew. For a Jew, if another Jew should go down to the level of living with pigs, eating the food given to pigs, then it's going to be bad. Okay, so to Jewish minds, he is at the very bottom of his living. And he realizes it, and he says, the servants in my father's house, they have bread to eat and more. And look at me, I have got to eat food that is given to the pigs that I care for. Now, it refers to us too, that if we have gone away from the Lord and we have sunk into that kind of debt, we need to return. And the Lord will always be forgiving. And as we heard this morning, the Lord is ever loving and will welcome us back unto himself. The demon's destruction. There were two men possessed with demons, and the Lord approached them, and the men asked the Lord to cast the demons out of them, and the demons knew that they would be cast out, and so they asked the Lord, throw us out, cast us out into the herd of swine nearby. And the Lord said, go. And we find that when they went into the swine ran over the cliff and then all drowned in the sea. Now, the tragic thing that happened after this was this, that the people who kept the swine that rushed into over the cliff into the sea, they later on went to the city and reported this to the city people. And the people, what did they do? They came back to where the two men who were possessed, and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said to the Lord Jesus Christ, please go away, please go away. We do not want you here. They treasured the swine more than the teacher, poor people. The swine were the proof of the people's pollution. They kept swine, and that was very bad indeed. So, for a Jew to keep swine is indeed a very, very polluted activity. All right, finally, we come to the worshipper's delusion. In Isaiah chapter 66 and chapter 65, we read of the rebellious people in Israel who went into a secret pagan garden and then did what the Lord wanted them to do. They sacrificed, they killed the lambs, they slew the bullocks, and then they burnt sacrifices unto the Lord, they burnt incense unto the Lord. And what did the Lord say? These people are deluded. They are doing all this, and yet they are rebellious. They are rebellious. Their heart is not there. I do not accept such. Just as in Malachi chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord said, you have complained about the Lord's table. Why? What way have we complained about the Lord's table? You say the Lord's table is contemptible. How can you say, when did we say the Lord's table is contemptible? Yes, because when you come and offer sacrifice on the table of the Lord, you bring in animals that are blind, animals that are lame, and then you offer them as sacrifices to me. You won't dare even to bring these sacrifices to the governor and offer them. You have no respect and no reverence for me. I won't accept such sacrifices. To you, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And we need to be careful too when we come to the Lord's table, that our hearts are ready and prepared of the Lord when we come to the table to be prepared to serve, to worship Him, and not be occupied with our own rebellious self. So, you find in Malachi all these complaints from the Lord. You won't even dare do these things to a governor, and yet you dare to do to me. You have a beautiful cow. Huh? You keep that cow. And for the sacrifice, what do? You bring a lame cow for the sacrifice. You bring a blind cow for the sacrifice. Let's be careful when we come to God's table, that we don't have that kind of attitude and we are not involved in this kind of activity where we reserve the best for ourselves and give the worst unto the Lord. Right, I end now. Conclusion. In the year of the ball, do not be a ball believer. Be a cow Christian. Read God's word and lead a clean life. Examine yourself to ensure that you are neither a sow nor a dog. Reform, but not reborn. Sisters need to have golden hearts rather than golden rings on swine snouts. Do not cast pearls before swine, but learn to treasure things which are holy and of value. Do not be tempted to eat swine. Keep swine or offer swine's blood. Return to the Lord and enjoy the best. Before anyone after this meeting come after me and ask me this question, Mr. Ang, because of this, you telling us that from now on, our assembly dinner, annual dinner, we can no more have roasted pork. Now, let me tell you this. The unclean and unclean animal have been referred to, especially to the Jews, to Israel. For us, you remember Peter. Before he was asked to approach Cornelius, he was given a vision of a sheet being lowered. And then in the sheet were all kinds of animals. And the voice from heaven came and told him, "Kill and eat all these animals." And what did Peter say? "No, Lord, what is unclean I will not eat." Because there were all sorts of animals there. And the Lord replied, "What I have cleaned, call not thou unclean." In other words, we are now living in this Christian generation. We are to give thanks and eat. The laws regarding clean and unclean do not apply to us anymore. The purpose of the vision to Peter was this, that he would now not only approach the Jews to bring them to the Lord, but he must also go to the Gentiles, because the unclean are the Gentiles, those uncircumcised. He must now approach them. And therefore, Cornelius, who was a Roman centurion, was a Gentile. He must bring him to the Lord as well. So there is no more clean and unclean. What God has cleansed, call not thou unclean. So do not offer swine. Mr. Ong, we can still have roasted pork next year. So don't worry. What I've said will not deter him from giving you roasted pork next year. We still have it. Do not offer swine. Be faithful and loyal to the Lord unto death. If it needs be until he comes unto his temple. Okay, so with this, I end. And I again wish you an advanced blessed Chinese New Year to all of you. And I wish you a blessed, blessed New Year. To be prosperous, to read the Word of God, to keep to His way, to be fruitful, that you be fruitful in every good work all the year round. And as we find in Psalm 1:3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper. Not the three important keywords that I am wishing all of you. Blessed, be fruitful, prosper. May the Lord bless you. And if you would like to have a record of what we have said this morning, you can always visit this. Now, I end. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this morning. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy teaching in Thy Word concerning the pig, the boar, or the swine. Lord, we do realize the bad attributes that have been associated with this animal. Help us, Lord, not to be like a pig. Help us, Lord, to be like cows, to be interested in Thy Word, to read Thy Word, to have Thy Word have an effect in our lives, that we may meditate upon Thy Word, ruminate it, and have it work out in our lives, that we may lead clean lives for Thee. So, Lord, we thank You for the study that we have made, and we ask Thee that Thou will lead us and guide us, especially for the Chinese and Chinese New Year, to lead on, to be blessed of Thee, to be prosperous, and to be fruitful. And Lord, especially this morning, we pray for our brother, Mr. Ong. We thank You, Lord, for blessing him, and we thank You for bringing him to this age of 70 years, the limit that Thou hast placed upon humankind and human being, that he should live until 70 years. And now every single day, every single month, every single year will be a bonus year that Thou, in Thy condescension of grace, has given to all of us. And especially, Lord, we pray for our brother, Mr. Ong. And we do pray, Lord, that I would go with him, especially the next few days or so when he has got to go for an operation on his leg. We do pray, Lord, that thou would be with him, heal him, so that not only will he be able to walk physically well, but above all, Lord, he may sustain his spiritual walk with thee, that he will continue to walk among us, to take shepherd the flock, and to feed us well. Lord, we commit to thee, not only him, but his wife, his children, his family, into thy hands, that thou would bless all of them for this Chinese New Year to come. We give thee thanks, Lord, in Christ's precious name. Amen.